hits your heart that feels like a forest. Children of Lebanon, the literacy, this learning differences, the struggles. Fix it all. Forest. Let's find the tree. Andrew found our tree. Look at how WS has grown just within our church because of the work she has done. And she's brought people alongside her to do. Okay, we find the tree. We can chop that down and then we get to move on to the next. Right? So you ready for some hard and fast examples? Had a tree for trees?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Stay the night. Homelessness break your heart, stay the night. Once a month during the winter, we have some amazing overflow shelters that always need help. Okay? Greet the residents. You don't have to stay the whole night. Greet the residents when they come in. Make them feel like a human being. Look them in the eye. Play a game with them. It's incredible to see those trees come together in just a 24-hour period. When you work at one of the, when you volunteer at one of the shelters. Make Fridays at lunch when you have lunch with the homeless community at Soup Kitchen or Center of Hope, Samaritan Ministries. And if you're in a season like me, kind of leaving young children at home overnight is tough. We carry bags of bottled water, a snack, and a little personal note of encouragement in our car. And so when we pass someone struggling with homelessness on the side of the road, roll that minivan window down. Sweet Bud holds it out, asks their name. Our family together is trying to see a tree in the midst of a forest. Okay? Your neighbors. Even the ones that have their Christmas lights on year round. Even the ones where their kids like crawl through your doggy door right to the pantry. Y'all, that is not actual life. I walk home from work and they see a garage door open and it comes and they stop coming through the door. They come through the doggy door because they know sometimes I lock the garage door. But instead of feeling frustrated, I found out what their favorite snacks are and I fill my pantry with it. I go to Costco and I buy so that they feel like they have a place of belonging in my home. Your neighbors take, when you take your garbage in, drag it in. Bring yours into. That's ministry. Take them supper just because. Or better yet, invite them over to sit around your dinner table and break bread with them. And if you live next to an elderly person, mow their lawn. Do something to where that showing them something so tangible as I see you, you matter to me, just want to come alongside and do life with you and help you and minister to you. Your coworkers. Even the ones that chew really loudly in the cubicle next to you, even the one that steals credit for your ideas in the conference room, can you minister to them? You take them out to lunch and ask them their story and really listen. So what breaks your heart? Is it kids? Is it education? We know that you can Google whatever it is that breaks your heart, bless Simons and Salem, and you will get a plethora of nonprofits that are doing good work. And about 9 times out of 10, you pick out a little button that says, how you can help, and like a list of ways you can donate and spend time, all right? offer to watch their child or their children, have them over, kind of give them a respite by offering your home just to their children. Anything else? Do you have a guest room? Offering it up? Fellows? Students who just need a break from a dorm room? Divinity students? We have our cousin. My cousin stays with us all the time. He is teaching at Wake because he lives in Brevard, so he comes back to teach. And he loves both of them. That's our B&B. He was like, if it's not me there, he's like, I see someone else's stuff in the corner. And we don't live in a peaceful, like, B&B environment. I agree on boys. It was the most freeing thing for me to realize that there is never going to be a perfect time to offer my home to someone. But there is, and it's any time. Even if it is messy, even if your fridge is bare, even if you haven't vacuumed in like 3 weeks, it's the perfect time to offer your help. Offer someone to lay their head and have a respite at your place. So Paul is obviously very well known. Did you know that he was a tent maker? And then his ministry, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, obviously. But it started as him just reaching out to fellow tent makers, like Aquila and Priscilla. And him going from town to town, he looked for people who were in the same business as him, who were other tent makers, to stay with. So that gift of hospitality happened every single place he went. It took Priscilla. There were several others, obviously, like in every city, whether it's Ephesus, everywhere, someone to say, yeah, I know it's not popular, come stay at my house so you can do your work. Is there someone coming to reach out? If there's an international exchange program, if they reach out to the clergy at church and say, is there someone coming through who's wanting to do ministry? We've got a place. Provide that space so that they can do work. We don't all have to be CNN heroes to make a difference. We can be the Priscilla and Aquilas who open their homes. We teach God's word in everyday interactions. We can do big things. We can do small things. And it is all kingdom work, right? My friend Emily, I was talking to her one time, and I was saying, I'm just not making a big enough difference. I feel like I have all these stirrings, and I just don't know where to start. I feel like I'm not making a difference. She would look at me, and it stuck with me. And she said, whether you're making lunch for your own kids, whether you're making sure the students in school don't sit alone at lunch, or whether you're serving lunch at soup kitchen, it is all kingdom work, Mama. And that's kept that with me. It's all kingdom work. Big, small. There's no such thing as small. In the work of the kingdom, we're showing God's love. So let's leave with some more initiatives, because I promised you that I would. We talked about snack bags in your car, snack bags in your neighborhood, filling up your the break room at work, bringing in donuts, bringing in lunch. That's ministry. Writing encouraging letters to your friends, leaving it in their mailbox. Ministry. How sweet has it been if you've been a recipient when you pull up after a really long day and you look on your front porch tree. Start picturing the tree so you can chop down one tree at a time. Because everyday ministry can be something from starting at 501c3 to just taking supper to a friend or inviting a newly married couple to sit down with you and share your wisdom on how you got through those storms. It can be either end of the spectrum or everything in between. It is all kingdom work, Mom. It is. It is all kingdom work. And there's just no small way to show the might of God. I am happy to answer any questions that you guys have. I have tried to make it a way to find the trees by researching a lot of the nonprofits in Winston to line up with that rub, to line up with what breaks your heart. So if you guys do have any questions about, hey, this is a rub, this is something that breaks my heart, do you have a place where I can dig in to create that tree? I'm happy to. And I'll stick around for a little bit afterwards if you guys do have any of those questions. All right?
I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about, I love that quote so much that you said, find what breaks your heart.
Yeah.
I have found that your heart doesn't get unbroken by doing this work.
Yeah, sometimes it breaks my heart.
It breaks your heart more. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, kind of the ongoing work of carrying your brokenness and your passion for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a great point, because yes, when we find out what breaks our heart, that is where our purpose can be, and sometimes when you dig deeper, it breaks more. But I think that if you couple that brokenness with some self-care, that's where ministry can thrive. So I do think on this side of heaven, we have to realize it's messy. That we are broken, and it is a broken world. And almost see it as an encouragement. My dad used to always say, if you're doing God's work, you know you're doing something right when things start going wrong. Because if you're doing God's work, you've got a target on your back. Yeah, so when you're doing God's work, imagine you've sort of got a target on your back. So if you feel like things are starting to go wrong in your life, and discouraged, it usually means you're doing something right and you're making a difference. Obviously, if you know my dad, he's got colorful language, so I'm trying to clean up what he did actually say. that was what that filter was happening. But his point was, if we are truly doing ministry, if we're truly doing God's work, the devil sees a target on our back and he's starting to respond. To try to stop us. All right? And so, know that when...
Oh, hi, buddy.
Dig into the... Embrace the mess. Embrace the heartbreak. Because that's usually what's going to stir the perseverance of action. But you also got to practice some self-care. Taking care of yourself as well. So that you're not pouring from an empty cup. You've got to fill your cup too. Practicing good self-care. Whether it is reaching out to someone for help when you need it. Going for that meditation in the mornings to fill your cup. You're about to dive into a whole day of serving. Asking girlfriends, sisters, brothers to come alongside of you. Pray for you while you're doing that work. Whatever self-care looks like for you. I think that's really important to couple with ministry. Everyday ministry, especially when you're dealing with such intense heartbreak, it's just usually probably going to get even more intense the more invested you get. But see if it's an encouragement, because it means your heart's in it. It means you're alive, it means you're being stirred by the Holy Spirit to keep working, to keep going at it. Does that answer that?